Hello and welcome to the Frontier Strategy Group podcast series. FSG is the leading information services partner for emerging markets executives. We partner with business leaders at over 200 multinationals by providing them with research, analytical tools, and data that help power their emerging markets business strategies. The focus of today's podcast discussion with Matthew Spivak, FSG's practice leader for the Middle East and North Africa region. And the topic is what to watch for in the MENA region in 2014. My name is Richard Leggett, and I'm the CEO of FSG, and I'll be moderating today's podcast. As a reminder, this podcast and all of FSG's content is available via our portal at portal.frontierstrategygroup.com. Matthew, thank you for joining me today. I know you're in our London office, and appreciate you making the time.
Yep, great to be here.
Let's jump right in. Before we dive into the details, let me just quickly start with an executive summary. What are the key takeaways you want our clients to consider for MENA in 2014?
Yeah, it's important, and I think that we're going to see some of the same types of takeaways, things that you'll see focus on there from the last year, and that's really that instability has continued to grab headlines, but despite that, economic growth and investment opportunities will continue as well. The GDP is estimated to probably surpass $4 trillion over the next few years. It's going to get up to that level. Private consumption is going to still average around 7 to 8%. You will see things like rising competition in the GCC as a lot of companies are focused there, but there's still going to be opportunities across the region as well.
There's so much to talk about in this region, clearly a region that has more volatility than any other region in the world and also seems to be right now caught in a cycle of instability. And I'm sure we'll talk about risks through the course of this conversation, political risks, economic and social risks. But I do want to also focus maybe at the top of the discussion on the opportunities. So if you're sitting in an executive's shoes, what's the bull case for the region? What's the bull case to make an investment in this region at this time?
Yeah, I mean, that's important. What is the bull case? Because despite, what you see in the headlines, as I said, business is still continuing and there's still opportunities. So looking at, a sub-region like the GCC, for example, government spending and then also domestic demand are two areas that are really presenting opportunities for our clients across sectors, and that's going to continue into next year. In areas where there's maybe a little bit more instability, like the Levant countries as well as in North Africa, despite that, there's going to be opportunities to gain market share, to earn customer loyalty, and then also to establish important relationships with governments that are new in seat, and it's important to have those long-term relationships that are developed now. Some of the big, high-risk, high-opportunity markets like Iraq, for example, there's going to be some huge opportunities looking into the long-term growth just because of the amount of money that's being spent because of oil revenue, as well as the amount of money being spent on rebuilding infrastructure. So despite, again, instability and some of the negative headlines, business continues and there's opportunities in different markets.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting in your report highlighting the outlook in the first half of next year for the region. You make the point that spending power in the wealthy GCC countries is nearly 50% higher than in Central and Eastern Europe. So even though we have a region that on the headlines has a lot of risk, there's a lot of very powerful trends underlying the region.
Absolutely.
Why don't we take a quick tour of the region with an eye to looking forward to 2014? And let's start with Saudi Arabia, which is the top MENA market for many of our clients. What's your general economic outlook for the Saudi Arabian market next year?
The general outlook is, continued domestic demand as well as high government spending, which is going to drive growth. Growth was at a little bit of a slower pace this year than it was last year, and that's something that will continue to some extent into the next year. But there's still going to be plenty of opportunities, especially in social sectors where the government is directing a lot of money, whether it's education, healthcare, housing. These are all areas that are getting a lot of attention. And then even because of supply disruptions that you've seen in other markets, the Saudis have made up for oil production in some of these other markets. It's allowed them to gain a lot more oil revenue, and because of that, they're going to have another surplus this year that will allow them to spend a lot of money going into next year.
What do you see as the key challenges in the region, and then where do you see the greatest opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, focusing on Saudi Arabia, I think that one of the key challenges that a lot on the radar for a lot of our clients, rightfully so, is really just labor regulations. So in the short term and long term, there's impacts. In the short term, over the last week or so, there have been a lot of news stories out of Saudi Arabia just because they started to clamp down on foreign migrants that didn't have proper work permits. And this has led to, you know, dozens of small shops, whether it's grocery stores or bakeries, closing. It's also led to reports of up to 40% of some of construction companies halting their operations, at least temporarily. So when you think about your partners and your customers, these are items that are going to potentially, you know, hurt some business activity for them in the short term. It also is something that's going to be pushing up inflation and potentially leading to some project delays. In the long term, this challenge really translates to, you know, on an ongoing basis, companies are going to really need to understand that more stringent labor regulations are here to stay, and they're going to be more and more affecting not only these smaller companies, but the clients in our client base as well. And because of that, they're going to really have to focus on, you know, recruiting the right Saudi talent, as well as developing them into employees that can help out in achieve the business goals. So there are some challenges with that. But, you know, obviously, when looking at Saudi Arabia, because, as you said, it's one of the top markets for our clients focused on MENA, there's some huge opportunities. And I spoke about this a little bit before, but just the amount of money that's being spent in social sectors on especially education and healthcare. What that means, not only for those sectors, but for IT, you know, because of how that's helping with spending within small businesses, what that means for other areas of the economy as well. There's plenty of opportunities, even with the challenges. The other challenge that I just point out is just because so many clients are focused on the opportunities in Saudi Arabia, it means that there will continue to be rising competition.
Let's turn to the Levant region, one of the hotspots. Let's talk primarily about the Syrian civil war, and how do you see the war impacting the surrounding markets?
Yeah, it's certainly an unfortunate situation that looks like it's going to be continuing into next year and really potentially beyond. It's going to have some of the same types of effects that it's had on surrounding markets already, you know, political stability, you know, impacting that in both Lebanon and Iraq, economic stability in Jordan, just the amount of refugees that are going into the surrounding markets, you know, what that means for the economy, what that means for spending, the amount of spending that needs to take place just to support those populations. In Lebanon, companies should definitely watch the elections after President Suleiman's term expires in May 2014. That'll be a bellwether for understanding where stability is going in Lebanon. And then with Iraq, you know, just how the Syrian civil war, as it continues, threatens to deepen sectarian tensions. That's something else that is something that we're watching right now from a stability perspective and something that could impact all different aspects of investing, including cost of doing business and just thinking about how you contingency plan for different parts of these markets.
Matt, when you think about the positive side in the Levant region, are there pockets of opportunity? If so, where are they for the brave of heart?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in crises, there are always going to be some opportunities, and I think that because you look at the instability in this region, it does keep away. If it doesn't keep away companies, it's forcing a lot of companies to focus on other parts of their portfolio, like I said before, the GCC. But that means that there are opportunities to gain market share. There are also opportunities to maintain some sort of presence in these markets in order to earn customer loyalty now, but also really establish it for the long term, because there's definitely a certain amount of appreciation when you do show that you're investing and that you're making some sort of contribution to the economy. It's something that people aren't going to forget. So there are challenges, but there are also opportunities as well to be not necessarily a first mover, but you know, to establish yourself now for when stability does return, you're going to be ahead of your competition that maybe hesitated for a while.
Sticking with hotspots, let's turn to Iran. Give us your view about where we are and what is the likely outcome of the current discussions taking place regarding Iran's nuclear development program.
Recently, in early November, you know, there was talks between the P5 plus one. P5 plus one is U.S., U.K., France, Russia, and China, and also Germany, with Iran, with the foreign minister. And, you know, there is a lot of optimism that was coming out of those talks. There was even a point when it seemed like, at least what was being reported, that there could be a deal coming out of it. There's going to be upcoming talks for the rest of 2013. And the Iranian foreign minister has said that he believes at least a partial deal could be reached by the second quarter of next year. Now, that remains to be seen, but, you know, some sort of positive news coming out of this is obviously welcome, and it's just something that definitely companies should keep an eye on. It's something that we're going to be keeping an eye on, and if there is a deal, that what the impact will be for the investment climate.
Let's talk about that. What would the impact be? If you can envision a so-called deal occurring, how does that change the region's investment climate?
Yeah, it's really important. And I would say, first of all, just managing expectations on this. Even if a deal were to be reached, implementation of it would not be easy. Rolling back sanctions that have been implemented in a very imbalanced way for decades now is going to be complicated. And then when you think about just the hardliners that have been in control of foreign policy for the most part in Iran for decades as well, not getting their buy-in, at least being able to implement it without their approval, is going to be somewhat difficult. But still, if there is some sort of deal, whether it's partial or even more than that, there's been a lot of talk about this. And one estimate, some oil analysts have estimated that oil prices could drop by up to 15%. Obviously, that is not something that only affects the Middle East and North Africa, but it affects global markets. When you think more focused on the Middle East, government spending is something that could be impacted in actually somewhat of a negative way in some markets. So GCC markets that are dependent on oil revenue, as well as Iraq, which is dependent on oil revenue. It's not to say that all of a sudden it's going to damage their economies, but it might slow the pace of growth of how much spending that we're seeing there. On the flip side of that, it is something that could relieve some of the pressure that we see on oil importers, just because of if there are lower oil prices, they're not going to be spending as much on imports, which will mean that foreign exchange reserves will not be dwindling at the same pace that they've been going down. So that's a positive. One other aspect of this from an investment perspective that's important is if this could potentially impact Syria as well. If this is part of a larger U.S.-Iranian deal that includes at least attempting to try to bring some stability to Syria to start to move parties towards some sort of resolution, obviously that could have a positive impact to surrounding markets as well that are impacted both economically and politically.
If you were one of our client executives that did not have a presence in Iran right now, would now be the time to start considering entering that market, or should you sit back and just wait a bit for the dust to settle and place your resources other places?
Yeah, I mean, what we've been advising our clients is that they should at least have a contingency plan for market entry, or even if they have some sort of presence there right now, for expansion. And obviously managing expectations because of what I said before as far as the implementation of the deal, and hey, a deal's not done yet, but just managing expectations. But the fact is, when you think about long-term in the Middle East and North Africa, you have so many companies that are just clustered and focused on big opportunities in GCC, but these are small markets, and over the long term, there's going to be some diminishing returns. You look at Iran, has the second largest population in the Middle East and North Africa, significant oil resources. There's already a big focus on Iran among some European fast-moving consumer goods companies, as well as healthcare companies. They might have had a tough year this year just because of the economy right now. When you think longer term and how you want to be performing in the Middle East and North Africa region, it's important at least to have a plan that you can take off the shelf. So when things do get into a situation where you might be able to enter, you're going to be able to hit the ground running because of that.
You recently released a report that was focused on Iraq as a frontier market. And it's a pretty in-depth report, and I encourage any of our clients to read it. In a nutshell, what forms the basis of your thesis for our clients to enter such a high-risk market? And is now the time? And if so, why?
So, I mean, this is something that, we look at our clients, and when they look at like high growth markets, for example, Iraq really does define what a frontier market is. It's large potential, but it's certainly inaccessible for some part because of the instability in the market, which is very important, but maybe not as impactful on investment as people assume it is. But then also, just because there hasn't been as much foreign investment in this market for a very long time. But similar to what I was just saying about Iran, if you're thinking long-term ambitions in the MENA region, it is actually essential that companies are looking at Iraq right now. You have rising competition as well as potentially diminishing returns in small GCC markets over the long term. And you think about Iraq is an opportunity really to diversify your portfolio for long-term growth. So with Iran, well, maybe you would want to wait for now just because of political ramifications as far as going in. Iraq is a market where you should definitely start looking, if you're not there already, for a good local partner that can help you enter and expand into the market. Iraq has the fifth largest oil reserves in the world. They're already spending oil revenue on important infrastructure in some similar ways to how you look at GCC spending money on infrastructure as far as healthcare, education, housing, retail, IT, really creates opportunities across different sectors. Iraq is going to have the second largest youth population within a decade within the MENA region. So really, huge amount of opportunities. And why now? Where's the urgency? The urgency is this. It's really your last chance to stay ahead of competition. Because of the instability in the market right now, it is certainly keeping back a significant amount of companies that would otherwise be very enthusiastic about Iraq. It has a difficult operating environment, but as you said, we just wrote a report on this and addressed, I think, a lot of the challenges there, and I definitely would encourage clients to read that because we look at how you can succeed in Iraq and really how big the opportunity is there, despite the challenges.
Okay, I have one last question because we're starting to bump up against time, but if you were to kind of highlight the top trends that you and our clients should be tracking for MENA in 2014, what would they be? And any bold predictions you want to make?
Bold predictions for the MENA region. That's always a dangerous business. So I'll start with the trends. I mean, you know, obviously just what's going on from a political stability perspective, although it doesn't always impact investment as much as people might think just because of the disproportionate amount of attention it gets in news headlines, it's still important to monitor just to understand how it impacts cost of doing business, how it impacts, supply chain and other potential disruptions. We're watching that and how it might impact oil prices into next year. Also looking at oil prices, how that might impact foreign exchange reserves, especially among oil importers. You know, we've seen that impacting a lot of importers that don't have as much access to hard currency as they have in the past just because of less foreign investment that's going in there, less remittances that had been coming maybe from in markets like Europe, less tourism. So because of that, they're a little bit more vulnerable to their foreign exchange reserves dwindling. And that's really one of the last trends that we're watching. We definitely encourage clients to watch for next year, which is if the oil prices do stay at pretty high levels, what that could mean for oil importers, especially in North Africa as well as the Levant region, because it could fuel currency depreciation and really feed into instability in this cycle of what's happening right now. So bold prediction, I think that's a hard one, but I will say that 2014 is going to be known as the big investment year for Iraq. I think that it might be a little bit hard to seed right now, but it really does have, from a business perspective, from an opportunity perspective, despite the challenges, all the marks of an emerging, well, maybe the wrong way to put it, but as a frontier market that's rising, and that maybe at the end of 2014 or into 2015, there might be some companies saying, we should have done this a year ago. So that would be my bold prediction for 2014.
Excellent. Matt, thanks so much for the time. Really great discussion. I do encourage our clients to read the report on Iraq. I also encourage them to read your first half 2014 MENA regional overview, both available on our portal or via your account manager. We very much look forward to continuing to track the developments across MENA. I have no doubt that the region will keep us all on our toes in the first part of next year and that we'll have plenty to talk about. As a reminder, you can access those reports I just mentioned, all of FSG's content on our portal at portal.frontierstrategygroup.com, and you can always request a conversation with Matt Spivak or any of our research analysts as well, either on the portal or through your account manager. This concludes our podcast. Until next time, we wish you great outperformance in your emerging market portfolio.